All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the New Printing Press Podcast. This is episode number 3, broadcasting worldwide to millions and millions of people. Because of AI. We just talk about church and technology and innovation, are having a good time doing it. And I'm here with my good friend, Vance Rausch, founder, CEO of Overflow. Vance, what is up, man? How are you?
Mike, man, I've been waiting for this moment. Literally waiting for the invitation to be on a pod with you. What an honor. I'm really excited for this conversation. The thing is,
Vance, is it's a little bit like Joe Rogan, you know? So like if you have a book, when you come on this podcast, you're going to shoot to the top of the bestseller list. So I have to, you know, I got to wait.
You got to be selective. I get it.
Yeah, got to be selective, bro, you know? Dude, okay, so I'm stoked to have you on here. I'm bummed because I was supposed to see you in person last week.
I know.
And then, dude, I got sick. It was just crazy. But you just had FlowCon, your first conference. Tell us about that. We'll get into... I told you, I was like, I'm not going on any social media because I don't want to, so many of my friends and people I love in one place and I'm just...
You and the thousands of others that missed out just had massive FOMO.
Yes, that's right.
But honestly, we had this idea, you know, several months ago because we had this insight that there was this felt need, especially in the kingdom, of kingdom-minded entrepreneurs that are looking for community, right? People that are ambitious, people maybe a little bit more oriented towards tech. People that are at least wanting to be part of the conversation of where tech is going and how we can harness it for building the kingdom and building the local church, but not even like for church technologists, but those that are just in the marketplace but want to be on mission, you know? And when we actually set out to start putting the dates on and start promoting it, you know, our faith level was that I think we can get 200 people, I even had Kim, my wife, who is pretty much the co-conference director with myself in collaboration with the Hype Network team, Pastor Adam, you know, Katrina, the whole crew. I had her print 200 shirts because I was like, surely that's the max of the type of people that would resonate with this. Bro, we had over 350 paid registrations and people that came in from all over the world. Like it was really such a big blessing. It impacted me a lot to see that many people that identify themselves as kingdom-minded entrepreneurs, venture capitalists, people that are just super earnest and hungry to have conversations, to make connection. We called it a collision of collaboration, right? Mm-hmm. And it was really, really cool. We had over 7 cities represented, also people traveling internationally from Zurich, from cities all across Mexico and India that traveled in. We had over 60 churches represented in the room, over 190 companies represented in the room. So founders, business owners, C-suite executives, and everybody with no other agenda outside of believing this premise that we had for it, you're one connection away from your breakthrough. I haven't even heard all the stories yet, and I'm sure they're going to continue to roll in over the next year or so. But I really do believe of the stories I've heard so far, people found breakthrough, whether it was in the incredible content that we were able to provide from people like Chihua Chen, who was an early investor in when it was called The Facebook, right? People like Nancy Duarte, who has coached all the legends at Apple in their presentation design for events like WWDC and things like that. Mackie Saturday, who created the brand for not just Instagram, but for also the Bible Project. These people gave gold, dude, just gold. And so people, I think, got breakthrough through content. But, you know, we had Kingdom Networking, which that might trigger some introverts, networking. But it was, it was good. People were... really, really, I think, blown away by how many people are identifying themselves just like them, right? People that are, you know, in tech, people that are entrepreneurial, that are unashamedly pursuing a life of Jesus. And I think it just was like kind of this aha moment for everybody. Hey, we're not alone.
Dude, and you guys do such a good job of whether it be at Vive, any gathering I've ever been to that you guys have put on, It's funny you said like the network thing, the networking thing, and you sort of said like introverts are going to be triggered. The thing about what I've found is like being around you guys is it doesn't feel like, you know, when you go to like a lame networking event and it's like posturing and who do I talk, you know, like there's never been a time where I've been around something you guys have put on where it felt like that, but there hasn't been a time where I haven't walked away with like a really great relationship or a really good friendship. You know what I mean? And you guys facilitate that so well. Dude, I mean, at Vibe Conference was really where I think validated that Pulpit AI could potentially be a thing, you know?
Wow.
There was like a little breakout session that I got to share on and we had just started it. I mean, our logo was AI generated. It was, bro, it was the worst, like the worst ever. But it was like literally, I think literally talked for like 6 minutes and I got down and I was like, whoa, okay. The way that the people responded just from that, like if we can execute, we may have something that a few people want, you know? And just since then, the relationships I've built, the people I've met, man, you guys do such an awesome, awesome job with that. And I want to talk about that in a second. I want to talk about Vibe and the culture you guys have built because I think it's really
well,
really
that
special.
Thing that you're a part of, right, is we kind of did a Shark Tank in the church parking lot, right? Seems kind of heretical. I don't know, but it was awesome.
Yeah. Well, and you guys were like, at the time I was like kind of building something else and you guys were like, come share about that. And I kind of was like, okay, sure. And then afterwards I was like, actually, I'm doing this new thing. Can I go ahead and share about that instead? And, but that was so cool, man. It was like, yeah, just a bunch of people working on a bunch of really cool stuff and being given a place to like share about it and meet people that could help. I mean, gosh, man, I had people coming up to me afterwards offering all kinds of just advice, thoughts, help. Let me connect you to this person and that person. And not in like a weird way, but in like a very genuine way. Dude, I want to get back to that in a second. But before we do that, just like give me the quick, like one minute and a half. You helped plant Vibe Church. There was a problem that you came up against while being the executive pastor at Vibe Church that led you to start a company that you guys just raised $20 million. Congratulations on that, by the way. That's huge. It's so cool to see faith-based companies getting the love, you know, in Silicon Valley. So just give us like, for someone who doesn't know you, doesn't know what you guys are about, give us a quick overview where people can find you so that we don't forget to get to that.
Yeah. On the founding team of Vibe Church, that's a big blessing to Kim and I, my wife, that we get to say that. I met Pastors Adam and Kira through Twitter. That's a whole nother story. And planted the church alongside with them 12 years ago, right? 7 people in a living room. Mm-hmm. God's really blessed it. We're really thankful for that. God's moving in the Silicon Valley and we have thousands of members now that call Vibe Church home. Praise God. A lot of people coming into salvation through Vibe Church. And so fast forward, some years later, operating in the seat of executive pastor, by the way, a lay pastor. So, still, doing stuff in tech. I started my career at Google, but ultimately, you know, something in 2019 that became very apparent was that people wanted to give in the form of non-cash assets, particularly stock and crypto. And at the time, you know, the Silicon Valley-based church didn't have an easy way to be able to receive those type of gifts. And when I was looking into it, I was like, oh man, I think this could be big, especially with the type of people in our church that half of their compensation comes in the form of stocks, right? Google, Apple, Facebook, this is how they have historically compensated their employees. And so I looked into it of why people don't do this more often. And I realized it's because there's a little bit of friction, right? Most of the time you have to kind of call your broker, you have to sign physical forms, you have to even in some cases fax them in and things like that. So I set out to build a workflow automation tool where people could transact a stock gift to the church just completely online. And I thought that that was going to serve just a few people at our church to make it easier for them and that we were going to raise, you know, maybe thousands of dollars. So I built it, called it Overflow, emailed all of our givers, said, hey, you know, many of you have asked me about stock donations or crypto donations. Apparently, it's the most tax efficient way to give. You could do so now, you know, more easily through this platform called Overflow. And I sent that to 1,000 active recurring donors. And to my surprise, 32 people responded within 3 days and we raised $1.1 million.
Jeez.
In a really short amount
of time. That's crazy, man.
And so it was.
That's crazy.
It was wild. And that was the origin story to your question, Mike. And since then, I mean, obviously any executive pastor that gets to tell the news to their lead pastor about that, that's really exciting to be able to do, right? And part of the journey, which is really cool about this relationship, is Pastor Adam was very releasing about it. He basically said, hey, Vance, this is actually not just for Vive. This should be for the kingdom. And when we had that conversation, it was kind of like a starting gun in my spirit of like, oh, wow, okay, there's a bigger kingdom opportunity here. And I went on the journey of then raising some funds, putting together a team. And then we officially launched Overflow as a company in July 2020. It's been like off to the races ever since.
Dang, that's amazing, man.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that you sort of talked about Pastor Adam sort of kind of saying, hey, I think there's something bigger here, which you had an idea. You guys have a really cool relationship. Mm. And that's something that I think a lot of people, you know, if you're listening to this, whether you're building something, whether you're a business person, a senior pastor, lead pastor, what I have seen, and I've been able to be really up close to Vive. Pastor Adam's on the board of our church in LA.
Yep.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I've been able to see and be around. And I think there's such a cool culture. And like, I will skip over one thing because I want to, you touched on it. And so now my brain is not going to let me deviate away from it. I think Vive, when people have asked me about Vive, or kind of just the ecosystem that you guys are building and have built, and that's with Vive and Overflow and all of it. What I always say, in fact, what Jake and I always say is we just say they create their own weather. They do what they do, how they do it. And that's like the utmost compliment because it's like, it's super disorienting. It's disorienting to kind of see the innovation and the bigness. But then at the same time, like, when I get around any of the people that work for Pastor Adam, they feel like you can just tell they're like discipled and led and pastored and cared for. So there's this weird, like, and you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're around church staff and you know that like, they're not loving,
I totally
you know what I'm saying? We don't have to say anything else about that, but you know what I mean? Like, and I think part of that is the big thinking that you guys all have, but then the releasing nature of like, just talk to me about the culture of Vive. The culture of innovation, but even beyond that, the culture of like leadership and discipleship that exists. I know we're getting a bit off topic, but I actually think it's part of the real grace and anointing that God has on your church. Talk about that. Has it been easy? What's that like? What's it like to be on staff and talk to your senior pastor about like, hey, I'm gonna probably be carrying less at the church because like I'm gonna go start this company and you're gonna believe, like, I don't know, just talk to me about all of that.
Yeah, it's a really good question, man. And thank you for saying everything that you did. I love that word disorienting. I do take that as a big compliment because it's something that being in the weather that we've created ourselves, I'm constantly disoriented personally as well. and I think it comes from this premise that, you know, churches, especially if you're a growth-minded church, I think generally are on board with vision, right? I think everybody is on board with that idea, right? Habakkuk 2, you know, even of the idea of big vision, right? I think people are down for that. I think what is unique maybe that we've found is, you know, giving some wind and giving some momentum behind this ecosystem that we're building is definitely number one, this bold vision, this kind of crazy, audacious faith type vision. And part of that is definitely Pastor Adam's personality, right? So part of that is his anointing, I think, for sure. Obviously, having the courage to sell everything in Australia, move your three young girls, your whole family basically from Newcastle to the Silicon Valley with no money, no connections, no predetermined housing, you know, that is the type of personality that he has, right? And not even saying that there's not fear and doubt that creeps in, but we're going to do it scared, and we're going to do it believing as if the God of the Bible is true, right? And will meet us in that place. And so that's always been the Pastor Adam I've known. So that's definitely part of his personality. But what I would say, I think, makes us maybe unique, or what I've seen has lent to our distinction, is that it's not just big vision and talking about big vision, but it's substantiated with real action. Does that make sense? And so I love that you said ecosystem. Part of it is, you know, being in the Silicon Valley, we're exposed to some resources and to some very real people that we can say pretty crazy things. And in the water of the Silicon Valley, I mean, it might sound crazy in the church world, but it's like in the water here in the Silicon Valley. So
yeah,
we're a little bit kind of marrying Pastor Adam's personality with the reality of the region, right? And so I think that's a real distinction, right? Is there is a density of dreamers and thinkers and believers in the Silicon Valley. And we know this now. Silicon Valley is kind of in the cloud now, right? This mentality is starting to infect not just people that live here regionally, but people that have a similar mindset, right? And so I think it's very powerful when you combine the tenets of our faith and the tenets of our biblical belief and who we know our God is with the reality of what this region, even without Jesus, also believes. Does that make sense? And so I think that's part of the distinction there that we've really embraced. A lot of the things that we do, we kind of align with the Silicon Valley. And I'm not saying we always agree with the way that Silicon Valley does things. You know, we're in the business as churches, right, is to always redeem, right? But there are things that just stock standard in the Silicon Valley, I don't know, kind of feel like kingdom, you know? And then there's definitely things that can be redeemed.
You know what, dude, it's so funny you say that, man. Like, I have, since even just announcing Pulpit AI and meeting people on Twitter and you, like, Silicon Valley, even in the tiniest bit of exposure that I've had towards it, is probably the most collaborative ecosystem, if you want to call it that, right? Like, oh, let me connect you to this person. A day does not go by where somebody does not say, hey, I just saw this thing. Let me connect you to this person, with like not asking for anything in return, not asking for it. It is a very like collaborative, let's help each other kind of ecosystem. At least from what I've noticed, you know, as like not someone that's right in there, but as someone who's had like just a tiny bit of exposure, comparative to the church world and comparative to the church tech world, it's what I've seen is like a lot of collaboration versus maybe not quite, maybe a bit of the opposite.
Well, you know? I think that's part of what maybe was another part of your question is, how is that dynamic with Pastor Adam and I, especially in that kind of moment where we both had a realization that, oh, wow, okay, let's release Vance to build Overflow. It might mean vocationally less time, like on the staff side of church. But I think because there's such big thinking and because the vision is so ambitious, there is like a humble realization that at the end of the day, it has to be effectuated through partnership and through collaboration. It's kind of like this moment of awe where we're talking about some pretty crazy, like, it just sounds silly when we say it out loud type of things, where it just becomes obvious that, hey, this is not going to be accomplished by just one banner or one brand. This is going to be accomplished with a collective of really ambitious people that are willing to submit their entities and their companies and their organizations and their staff to a bigger collective purpose, right? And so I think because the vision is so big, so audacious, so ambitious, there's a humility in that, hey, at the end of the day, I just know we're not going to be able to do it on our own. So if that means Vance is going over here, Pastor Adam's going over here, you know, this person in our church is going over here. And we just have this mutual understanding that, hey, at the end of the day, we're all part of this kingdom advancement goal. Then it becomes, we all embrace it, right?
Yeah, dude, I love that. I love that. Okay, let's talk about innovation in church. So I'm working on a theory and I want to know what you think about it. Dude, this podcast is going to get me some... it's going to get me in trouble someday.
You're already in trouble. I love it. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So like the church tech space, if you were to call it that, right? Which is, there are hundreds and hundreds of amazing companies that serve churches technologically. Like I'm not here to like hate on anyone or whatever. I've now talked to a lot of people just in the last 8 or 9 months who have either in the past built software or some kind of technology solution for churches, or who are building it, or who are currently doing and wanting to get out of it as fast as I can. And I keep hearing kind of this like same sentiment. And the sentiment is, oh, the church isn't innovative. Like pastors aren't innovative. There's not a lot of innovation going on. The church is always 18 months to 2 years behind. Like almost as if it's this like a waste of time to try and do anything really innovative in the church space, right? My theory is because I don't think there's a lot of people trying to do anything innovative. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of what I've seen and been around and experienced is like actually not a lot of passion and vision for innovation. It really is just kind of like, what's the lowest common denominator?
Yep.
What's a problem and how can we solve it in kind of the lowest common denominator way? One of the things I love about Overflow is that I think you have made innovation not just part of the brand, but part of the education, part of everything that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And you don't, from what I've seen, you don't talk down to the pastor that you're trying to serve.
Right.
And what I've noticed in this space is I feel like I see that a lot. You know, like, hey, let's make this thing sound way more complex than it actually is. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, this is something I've just been thinking about in the last couple of days. But like, talk to me about the church innovation space, what you're seeing. Why do you think the church gets this rap of like, it's not innovative? You know, like you got to make it really simple for people. You've got to talk to me about that. Or maybe I'm just seeing this in my own isolated anecdotal experiences.
Yeah, no, I think your working theory is very interesting. I think I'd agree with a big portion of it. I would say that everything is contextual, right? And so if we were to zoom out even further than our vantage point in this moment of time, the statement that the church is not innovative is just a false statement, right? Because if we increase the aperture in history, actually the church has brought to you some of the most breakthrough things in human history, including the hospital, including the way that we even do education.
Exactly.
Right. Including the printing press. This is called the new printing press, right? I mean, religion and Christianity was a huge part of that technological revolution. And so I think part of it
it's almost as if Christians have been redeeming things for a long time, right? and using it for the benefit of the gospel. Anyways, go ahead. I want to hear you talk.
Exactly. And I know you've been talking about this a ton in the writing that you all do, and I'm pretty fully aligned with that. I think my viewpoint with, if we want to restrict it though to this moment in time, is that we are under a new renaissance, right? And actually, if you think about this, even relative to our moment in time, if you take the past 15 to 20 years, it's not that the church has necessarily been not innovative. I also think that people's definition of what the church is and how they define the church industry is different, you know, based on who you're talking to, right? And so the way that you and I view the church industry is going to be very different from somebody who has a Catholic perspective. It's going to be very different from somebody who has a Nazarene and Lutheran perspective. It's going to be very different, like denominationally, right? But I think the type of churches that you and I serve skew more towards innovation naturally. And I'm not just talking about the way they think, but actually they're technologically savvy, right? They're incorporating technology in the worship experience. I just think that probably what people are surmising is that we're at the tail end of what, you know, we were innovating within the church of the last decade or so, which was the worship experience, right? And so there has been models, and a lot of it is because it was pioneered by organizations like Hillsong, where churches actually were running pretty well-run concerts, man. Like Vibe is an example of that. Like it's a pretty good production. Like I would actually go toe-to-toe with anybody on who is putting on a regular basis, like every Sunday, the type of production that a church like Vibe is doing. Like it is pretty excellent, right? You know, and there's concerts out there, but they're not even doing it on as a frequent basis as, you know, a church does every single Sunday. I think the reality of that is that, okay, cool, we've kind of figured that out. If that's your cup of tea and if that's how you're engaging your community, it's kind of figured out. And what I feel like the new renaissance is actually AI, right? So if you think about it, it all comes down to staffing and personnel. The last couple decades showed us that, oh, okay, cool, this Hillsong style worship, it really engages young people. Let's incorporate that into our worship experiences. But how are we going to do that? Okay, I got to hire a creative director. I got to hire a production specialist. I got to hire sound engineers. I got to hire people that understand lighting and stage cues and all those type of things. And for the last couple of decades, most of the growing churches and what you would call the modern churches have adopted this. And they have these type of staffs. And they know how to lead and recruit these type of staffs and integrate them into their church, right? But tell me one church that has a CTO. Tell me a church that has a data scientist. Tell me a church that has staff members that understand LLMs, right? And so what's happening is that the reason why there maybe isn't innovation to the level of where secular companies are at is because our staffing hasn't caught up. Right. And so you got people like me and you that are selling into churches and trying to serve them with our technologies, but we actually also have to partner with them to point them in the direction of personnel they actually need to hire to be able to fully utilize the software that we're providing them. You know what I mean? It's the same thing though with how maybe Digico had to partner with churches to teach them, hey, by the way, you should probably have a sound engineer at least on Sundays to work our systems, right? It's going to be similar to that, and it's going to happen, right? In the next couple of years, it's going to happen. We're not there yet, but we'll get there.
Dude, that's actually such a good point. That's actually a really good point. It's a new kind of innovation that requires a new kind of personnel.
Yeah,
and I love that you said it means we're going to have to work with these churches. That actually makes so much sense, dude. And I actually hadn't thought of it that way.
Like 10 years ago, people didn't have...
You're totally right on.
Yeah, 10 years ago, people didn't have photographers on staff, right? Like,
or even graphic designers.
Graphic designers, yeah, exactly. Right?
Bro, yeah. Yeah. I mean, dude, like, you're totally right. Yeah. I wonder how many pastors are thinking about it like that. You know what I mean? I wonder how many pastors are going, man, that's actually a really interesting way to think, man, do I need a CTO, right? Like, you know, not like a, right? Like, and what does that mean? And how are they innovating the way that our workflows work and how we're keeping track of our people and how we're keeping in communication with them and how we're measuring the health and all taking all of the data, right? And figuring out, man, that makes so much sense, dude. That's such a good point. Okay, let's close on talking about AI. So you chat with a lot of churches. What I love about you, bro, is you are like, man, I feel like you are always, I always see you with customers and people and friends. You are like face to face in the room, building relationships. And I think a lot of that comes with because of what you guys do is such a huge piece of a puzzle for a church, right? When it's connected to their finances, right? But like, what are you seeing in regards to AI? Like, what are people talking about? I see a lot of these surveys going around and I'm sure some of them are accurate, but what I see is like, oh, the church is really worried about AI or they're very afraid of it. But the experience I'm having with pastors I talk to every day is they're embracing it. They're developing a theology around how they use it, but they're embracing it. What are you seeing? Like, and beyond just like what Pulpit AI does, like what are you seeing out there? How are churches using AI? How are they responding to it? What's the sentiment? Like, give us what you've been seeing out there.
Well, the number one thing I'm seeing is that Pulpit AI is the best company for AI and the church in the industry, bar none. So that's the number one thing I'm seeing.
I'll send you a check afterwards.
We're talking our book a little bit because we're big believers in you, Mike. But
yeah, exactly. What
I will say is that I think most of the media conversation, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, seems to be so focused on AGI and seems to be so focused on sci-fi that I think people are missing. And if that's more imminent than I think, then maybe rightfully so that we're talking about that a lot, right? But I do think that we've missed a couple steps on what AI can do for us, like right now, before, you know, Terminator comes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the reality is that if you just think about it from the standpoint of Starbucks and Nordstrom's and some of these companies that we interact with every single day, the reality is that these companies have been using machine learning, data, and AI for the last decade to increase our customer experiences in their companies and under their brands. That's why they're so successful, right? Because you can download a Starbucks app and my Starbucks homepage looks different from yours based on my previous orders. I open up Netflix and it looks different from yours based on my previous watches, right? I log into Amazon.com and my page looks different from yours based on my things that I've ordered on Amazon. This has already been happening. People have already been exposed to AI for a really, really long time. It's just we've coined a whole industry around it and we've put Sam Altman as like the poster child for it. And he's all about AGI and AGI taking over. And so we're getting freaked out about it. But I think, you know, whatever happens there, I'm not sure. Theologically, I believe God's in control. But I think if we spend too much time focusing on that, we're missing that, hey, church, like we're in the business of knowing our members better than Starbucks. I hope we would be in the position to want to know our members better than Nordstrom's. But the reality is Nordstrom's has figured out the way to stitch together software on the internet, on mobile, with machine learning, mining all of our data, making it useful so that they can follow us online and show us that Chelsea boot. Or does anybody wear Chelsea boots anywhere? I don't know. that we had searched for, you know, a week ago and deliver up this kind of personalized web experience, right? And that's what AI has powered. So if we just take it from there, right, we should all as church leaders, as pastors, as people that want to advance the church, we should just be thinking about solutions that are going to better engage our church member, right? And there are just simple things. We don't need to go to robots yet. There are just simple things like assimilating people in the church with the right message and with the right piece of content that is going to allow them to take their next step in their faith in our churches. Genuinely why I love, you know, platforms like Pulpit AI, because it's taking a part of that ecosystem and saying, hey, we have this part, pastor, let us hold this part for you. Let us help you apply AI in this very useful part where we can help mine your sermons, where we can help annotate your sermons, where we can make it useful for you in sermon development. But not only that, think about strategic and intentional ways to produce output that is not just about, oh, what's going to get more hits than, you know, the most viral pastor out there. But no, how am I going to better disciple my congregation, right? And so I just think that a lot of the fear mongering and a lot of that conversation is really just based on this entertaining media narrative. But if, cool, like let's be entertained by it, but let's literally take a step back and really distill it down. How is this going to help a church member? Because I'll tell you right now, AI definitely has the potential to help your church members.
Dude, that's so true, man. Man, that's so good and helpful. Okay, before we, you know, close. It's late on a Friday. I'm sure you're ready to get home to the fam. Give us just a quick. Where can people find you, man? Like, talk to us about Overflow. like, tell us what you're doing. Cause I do think that you guys are, you know, you mentioned kind of the Nordstrom and the Starbucks and how are we having a deeper connection with our church members. A lot. It seems to me from what I've seen that what you guys are building kind of does go beyond just, hey, we help facilitate giving from different kind of assets, but you guys are building something that really goes beyond that. So whatever you're able to share, man, like where can people find you? What are you guys up to? What's happening at Overflow?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we honor a lot of the church technology companies that went before us and pioneered this space, right? One thing that we've seen several of the bigger church technology companies do is build organizations that are geared towards being the one-stop shop technology company for the church, right? And that's not necessarily a right or wrong strategy. It's just a very specific strategy, right? And so while everybody is zigging on that, where we feel like we're differentiated and where we want to zag is say, hey, church, we're never going to build our CRM. Not passionate about that. We're not going to build a streaming service. Don't know how to do that. But anything related to finances, we want to help. And we're going to build specific technology related to finances. And so when we announced our Series B, we shared a little bit about that product roadmap. And so a lot of people know us for giving, which is amazing. And the next product that we're going to release later this year in general availability is our spend management product, right? And so if you think about it, if you are working with Overflow and we see your giving and we also see your spending, we can actually empower you with the right type of lending that you need in terms of if you want to pursue buying buildings, for example. And so if we see that whole picture, then we can get you low rates on lending. We can make sure that you're underwritten appropriately without even needing to produce a financial statement, right? And so our whole expanded mission is not just to increase generosity for the local church, but to make sure that the local church can be funded for expansion, right? And so that's what we're really focused on in the next 12 to 18 months. You can find us at overflow.co. Not .com, because that's $2 million right now. If somebody wants to invest and help us get that domain, God bless you.
Someone can find me, pulpit.ai. We'll take that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hear you, bro. It's tough out here.
Exactly. Yeah, uh-huh. And so overflow.co.co. And then me personally, Vance Roush, Instagram, LinkedIn, and X. Would love to connect.
Awesome, dude. Well, man, thank you. Thank you for being on. Thanks for taking the time to chat. Thanks for what you're doing for the church. And honestly, man, thanks for what you've done for us, for me. I've been running ideas past you for a long time.
Yeah.
You've been walking with me with this since the beginning, helping me make big decisions, tough decisions.
And, come on.
And honestly, just being a big encouragement. So I love you, dude. Thank you.
Love
and
you, man.
Man, I appreciate you being on. We'll have you back on.
Appreciate it.
Amazing.